From Spark and Anvil and Quillspell, this is Margot in Chapter 1 of the Quillspell cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
Margot lived in the French Chateau. This chateau wasn't a real French chateau, of course. No actual French chateaus existed in the kingdom, but the Academy's founders had wanted a French roots neighborhood, so they built this place with high stone arches and tall, narrow windows. It looked like something from an old storybook. A small, formal garden sat out front. Academy gardeners kept the bushes clipped into perfect geometric patterns. This kind of garden was called a parterre. The chateau stood on the Academy's western edge. A fountain splashed gently in front, with a stone lily, a fleur-de-lis, carved into its center. Margot taught in the chateau's great hall. The hall had high ceilings that seemed to touch the sky. Sunlight streamed through the tall, narrow windows, landing on a long oak table in the middle. Old tapestries covered the walls. Retired teachers had donated them over the years. They showed scenes from all over the world, a fishing village by the sea, a deep forest in the north, a busy market in the desert, even a medieval hunting party. The tapestries were ancient, and some edges had begun to fray.
Margot herself always looked perfectly put together. If you asked, she would say it was part of the chateau standards. This was the most formal part of the academy. Children coming for a lesson knew to brush their hair and straighten their collars. They did this before stepping inside. Margot never scolded anyone. A small mirror hung by the door, and a comb rested on a side table. Most children, seeing these, understood the quiet expectation. Margot always wore a navy blue jacket and a crisp white blouse. A small silver pin, shaped like a fleur-de-lis, gleamed on her lapel. Her hair was always neatly arranged, not a strand out of place. She was a living example of the chateau's quiet elegance. Margot's real name was Marguerite. She grew up in a house where two languages were spoken at supper. One was the kingdom's common tongue. The other was a regional dialect, full of French-sounding words. Centuries ago, her family's region had been part of a Norman French duchy. That duchy was long gone, absorbed into the kingdom, but the local way of speaking still held on to many French words and sounds. Marguerite's mother, Madeleine, insisted her children speak both clearly. The common tongue helped them get along in the world. The regional dialect honored their family tradition. By the time she was a teenager, Marguerite had an incredibly sharp ear for words. She could hear tiny differences in how people pronounce things. French-derived words sounded different from Germanic-derived ones. Take the word garage. She noticed early on that it was French, but the kingdom's southern dialect had changed it. They made it sound almost unrecognizable. The French way was garage. It sounded clearer, more elegant, closer to its true beginning. The southern dialect's garage always struck Marguerite as a little sad. She would never say that aloud, of course. That would be rude. But when the chance came, she would gently say the French version. She hoped the people around her might notice.
They almost never did. Marguerite eventually accepted this. Still, she pronounced garage the French way. It was, she decided, her small daily contribution, a way to honor the word's origin, one quiet syllable at a time. When Marguerite was 19, she walked into the Quillspell Academy. She asked to be considered for the French roots position. Lex, the head of the academy, interviewed her. Lex leaned forward. "What is the etymology of royal?" she asked. Marguerite understood. Etymology meant the history of a word. "It comes from Old French, royal," she said. "From Latin, regalis. It means kingly or of the king." The word arrived in English with the Norman conquest. Before that, Old English had kinlic for kingly, but the Norman nobles used royal. The English nobility started using it too. Royal became the fancy word. Kingly stayed the everyday word. Lex nodded slowly. "And cuisine?" "That's from modern French, cuisine," Marguerite explained.
It means kitchen or cooking. It came into English much later, in the 1700s. French cooking was very popular back then, so cuisine kept its French pronunciation, cuisine. We tend to keep the French sound when a word still feels very French. Think of garage, though. That word is older. Its pronunciation has become more English. But I am personally holding out for the French version.
Lex set down her teacup. A small smile touched her lips. "You are appointed to the chateau," she said. "Take your academic name, Margot, after the Bordeaux region. It honors your family's French heritage." Marguerite became Margot that day. She has been the chateau's teacher for 22 years. In the great hall, Margot began every first day lesson the same way. She stood by the long oak table, holding a small silver pin. It was shaped like a lily, a fleur-de-lis. "This pin is a stylized lily," she would say. In old French tradition, the lily was a symbol of royalty. It reminds me of the word royal. That's one of the most important French-derived words in English. She explained how royal came into English. It arrived with the Norman conquest in 1066. Norman nobles brought their French words to England. Many words for how we govern, how we make laws, what we eat, and how we talk about art and fashion came this way. She would write the words on a slate. Royal, justice, jury, court, judge, attorney, parliament, government. All these came from Norman French, she'd say. Then she'd add more. Beef, pork, mutton, veal, poultry, cuisine, all French. She'd list even more. Adventure, courage, marriage, beauty, courtesy, also French. The list was huge, she pointed out. About 30% of all modern English words came from Norman French. The old Germanic words formed the base of English, but the French words settled right on top, like a fancy frosting. When children asked if French roots were hard to learn, Margot always gave the same answer. "They aren't hard at all," she'd say. "They are simply layered into English words in certain areas. Think about how we talk about government. That's Norman French. Or law, also Norman French. What about food preparation? French. Fashion and high culture? French again." The nobles in medieval England spoke French for 200 years. The words they used became the important, fancy words for those topics. Once you spot the pattern, you start seeing French everywhere. Margot still wore the fleur-de-lis pin every day. Sometimes children would ask to hold it. She always allowed them, but she was very strict about its return. The pin had belonged to her grandmother. It wasn't just a teaching prop, it was a personal heirloom. Still, she shared it, carefully.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Margot. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.